we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast. My name is Simone and this is the Path to Power season. And this is every week where I'm talking to brilliant changemakers and trailmakers who are truly making a difference in their communities by challenging the norm and creating more inclusive cultures. And every week there's always something new for me to learn. There's always something new that I get inspired by, or some top tips or advice that I get to take away and drive on my own sort of goals. And so I hope that this will also help your professional and your personal growth as well. And I'm delighted this week to be joined by Anastasia Womack, who is a UK head of early and emerging talent at Capgemini and is on our future list. Congratulations and welcome to the podcast, Anastasia.
Thank you, Simone. It's so great to be here.
Now tell us about the company that you work for, Capgemini, because I know that inclusivity and sustainability are truly at the core.
So I think it's funny because Capgemini is the biggest company that no one's really heard of. We employ about 360,000 people globally, so very, very large in 50 plus countries actually. But I think my favourite thing about working for us is we're a tech consulting organisation, but we always say that because of that, people are our product. So when we think about our purpose, it's about unleashing that human energy and purpose towards things like inclusivity, sustainability, but also helping our clients transform through tech. The benefit of working for an organisation like that is that everyone is focused on people. So for me, working in early careers and being really people orientated, it's like turning up to a little dream sometimes at work, because everyone's kind of motivated by the same things, which is so fantastic. Really lucky that the last few years we've been voted number one, number two on the UK's most inclusive organisations. So it's just amazing to be part of an organisation that really kind of pays it forward and champions everything inclusivity.
I love that. Did you say turning up to a little dream? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, a little bit. I sometimes feel like I think I'm a great advocate for employee experience. I'm like a marketer's dream when I'm turning up on podcasts saying, I work on a dream.
Brilliant. And actually, a dream is the fact that you, for us, is that, you know, you work as head of early and emerging talent, and we are really passionate. We are Power HQ about, you know, about talent. And I know you've been part of some of the power ups, the monthly power ups that we've done in the past. But tell us about your role and how you live your dream every day.
Yeah. So my team deliver all the experiences that our early careers have in their first 5 years of their career at Capgemini. So we are the first person to speak to them on day one sometimes of their first job ever in their career, in front of a big room of other early career joiners that all sit there looking quite nervous and thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on, up to kind of that 5 year point where we aim for them to be really confident and feel like, do you know what, I know what I want from my career and I know that I can get that and I've got the support that I need to do that. So that means everything from learning experiences, talent development programs, mentoring schemes, events to help them have those light bulb moments around industry or inclusivity or sustainability as an example. And kind of, we've got this responsibility to almost create the leaders of the future that will set that workplace culture and create a place where everyone feels like they're accepted at work and they want to show up to work. And hopefully are a little bit like me, where they feel like, okay, I'm working in a dream now and I'm in this organization that really helps me to succeed. So that's all that my team do. That's all we're about.
Not all, especially Anastasia. Never use the word all and never use the word just, I always think. And so tell me why this is such a passion for you. You know, it is a massive passion for us here. We love talent. We love, like you say, talking about the focus on the leaders of the future. But where did this passion come from for you?
So I think my own experiences. So I was quite academic at school and everyone told me, go to university, that's what you should do. And then I finished my A-levels and got the grades that I was meant to get. And I didn't feel like I wanted to go to university. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was being told things by parents and teachers and different people, but actually none of that felt right to me. And no one had ever kind of had a conversation and said, what do you want to do? I fell into a gap year job working in apprenticeships and was speaking to people like me who didn't really know what they wanted to do, but also didn't have the confidence to understand what they could do, or the power that they had, or what they could bring to the table. And the first few years of me working was about helping them go from applying to something thinking I'm going against the advice of everyone here and thinking, oh, should I do this, to at the end of it having a role in a leading organization that gives them a degree without any debt because they couldn't afford to go to university. And actually suddenly you can help people that are, you know, in difficult circumstances imagine a different future for themselves. And I think that's what early careers is all about. You have this massive opportunity to form the initial expectations of a career that a person has for themselves. So many young people come into our organization and in general, and they don't have any confidence in themselves. They don't know where they want to go. And a lot of them don't have the belief of where they can go. So for me, working early careers means helping shape that opportunity and make them the professionals of the future, but also have that belief in themselves and find their purpose at work, of something that makes them feel really fulfilled, because they're going to be working for a long time. And in a lot of ways, I think that early careers is almost like a second childhood. You're absorbing so much and you don't realize how much the experiences you have in your early career shape who you are in so many ways. It's such a big responsibility for us to get it right as employers. So I think having a role in hopefully getting that right and creating outcomes for people where they're confident, they're assured, they're in, you know, they understand inclusivity, but also they feel really happy at work, that is such an opportunity that I would never want to miss.
And you talk about like Capgemini being, you know, the largest firm that often you've never heard of. And you talked about you sort of, you know, not really sure what you wanted to do. I definitely had that sort of that thought. I didn't know. I was kind of done with, I didn't want to go to university, or if I did, I wasn't sure what I quite wanted to do. But yeah, how, you know, how can you find that route? How you find your route to your dream, right? But how did Capgemini, or you find Capgemini?
I think the biggest thing for me in my career has been connections. So when people ask me, oh, what's important in your early career, or how do I help people in their early career, people just tend to think training, put them on a training course. And actually that doesn't really create much meaning. I don't know one successful senior person that said, I'm here because of that training course I did in the first 2 years of my career. Actually, what you do here is things about mentoring or networking or connections, and people that can have such a massive influence on helping you understand and put that potential into something that looks like a career plan. So for me, I wouldn't be on this podcast, I wouldn't be here in my role without the mentors that I've had. It's so incredibly important because they help you see the potential that sometimes you don't. They help you develop that confidence that sometimes organically can be really difficult to do because of a range of factors, and diversity is one of them in terms of your background and where you've come from and what people have said to you when you were growing up and your own sense of self-worth. And actually 15 minutes from someone who's had that experience, even if it's just at a networking event, that might not mean much to them. But I'm yet to meet a young person where, you know, someone senior at a networking contest has come up to them and said, oh, do you want to have 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Let's talk about what's going on. And they think, me? And actually a 5 minute conversation can be almost a turning point for a young person to go from thinking I can achieve what people have always told me that I can achieve versus there's no limit to what I can do with my career, with helping other people. So for me, it's always been about the connections that's got me to where I am. And I say to anyone when they're thinking about early careers, it's about mentoring, networking, and finding people that will champion and support you to believe in yourself.
And I think it is, and it doesn't have to be you know, so many networking, so many mentoring, so many connections. It's sometimes just, you know, I think it's about being curious, isn't it? And the ask, you know, what's your top tip for someone out there who maybe thinks, you know, we've talked on the podcast a lot about being introverted or maybe not having confidence or actually sometimes just being shy or, you know, or maybe not asking because don't know what to ask. So what are some sort of tips out there or that, you know, people could adopt that maybe you've adopted in the past?
I really, really liked this because in school I was very shy. I turn up to networking events now and even now when I do it all the time, I think, oh my God, there's so many people. I don't know anyone. I feel out of place. So I think the first tip is a lot of people are feeling like you're feeling. Don't feel like you're the only person in the room that doesn't really know what to say or feels a little bit non-confident or something's happened that morning. You think, oh my gosh, can I even get to this point where I can have this conversation and bring my best? But actually, we're not asking for your best in those situations. We're just asking you to, like you said, Simon, be curious and actually be able to just say, oh, hi, or make some small talk by the tea and coffees. It can be that simple to spark something that can actually change your career forever, which is crazy, right? So I think in terms of tips, realize that everyone else is feeling the same way, but also you miss all the opportunities that you don't take. And I think that's what I always come back to. If you don't kind of try and push the boundaries, you're never going to get that reward unless you're very, very lucky. So it's about being able to recognize that actually pushing yourself out of that comfort zone is what will get you to that next step. Everyone feels uncomfortable when they do it, but actually the reward that can come from that is so worth that 5 to 10 seconds where, you know, you're trying to approach someone or start in that conversation. And for me, all my best opportunities have come from in a moment where I felt uncomfortable and had to push myself out there and do something that maybe, oh, I wasn't quite sure of, because that's when you learn the most and that's when you grow and develop the most as a professional.
And I think even sometimes those events that you go to that think, oh, this might not be the best event ever or whatever, it just takes that one, like you say, 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, because then I love, was it a phrase you just said there? You don't want to miss out on the opportunity that, you know, that you couldn't take. I love that. So I think there's always an opportunity in everything, you know, and even as I say, you come away thinking, well, wasn't really sure on the speaker or actually the people made, you know, I don't know whether it was my kind of vibe, but actually that one conversation I had in the loo or, you know, fighting for a coffee spoon or in the lift or whatever it means. I think that sometimes can be where what gem can come from, can't it?
I think so. And when I think about how I've met some of my mentors, I met a mentor, as I just said once, at a tea and coffee dressage table, and we were just talking about how there wasn't any coffee, and then we started a conversation and within 5 minutes I was like, oh my God, you are the most inspirational person I've ever met, I want to be you. And they've been mentoring me for the last 4 years consistently. So you never really know what's beneath the surface of a person. And I think sometimes we judge on appearance too much. And when maybe you're in a networking situation in your early career and everyone looks really polished and professional and they know what they're doing and they're dressed very smart and serious, and then you think, oh, it's the first time I'm here, I don't really know what I'm doing, everyone feels so confident and I'm not. Actually, everyone else is a human behind that too. So the appearance isn't what you should be judging on, and people have so much depth in the way that you as an individual in that situation will too. So it's about, like I said, recognizing that worth, but being able to push yourself out there to understand what makes other people tick as well beyond their job title or what they look like. It's about the value that they can bring too.
And how did you find your mentor? Because that's something people think, oh, I really want one of those. But it's not like always like an e-commerce thing that you can just go, right, I'll add that to my basket and off we go. However, you can also go to our power platform, wearepower.net, and have a look at great, amazing people out there with the great stories. But how did you find your mentor, and how did that, you know, sort of really shift your career advancement?
Yeah, so I think for me, I mean, I've about 3 mentors at any one time, and it kind of rotates between formal and informal. And I always say that having variation in your mentors is really important, internal and external in your organization, but also people that can bring different things to the table. Everyone has different experiences. So what one mentor offers you might be different to another. You might have two or three professional development goals, and actually it can be really great to focus on one with one mentor and have a more in-depth conversation every time you're focusing on that, because that will have a better award at the end of it. One of my current mentors, actually, Simone, I found on one of the sessions that you run for the We Are Power, for the networking sessions. And again, that's a great example of how it was an off-the-cuff conversation, myself with a few other people with this mentor. And now the output is, I thought, you know what, I could get on really well with that person. That person could offer me something. To now, where I've had over a year of being mentored by that person with regular sessions, talking about, you know, when something maybe goes wrong at work, or I might WhatsApp and say, what do you think of this? When I've got an idea and I'm not sure how to land it. So there's lots of opportunities like what you provide through the networking sessions, but also, like I said earlier, through those random connections that you might have where you think, actually, I'm really inspired by this person. It might not be the purpose of the event. You might meet them as a delegate, or it might be just a speaker that talks about something, whatever it might be. But you think, actually, why don't I take the initiative to see if that person can bring something to me? And even if they haven't got the opportunity to give you time mentoring wise for a long period of time, even one conversation can help change that perspective. So it's always worth the time to just think about, what can I get from that connection?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, multiple and different types, you know, sometimes, like you say, you've had a mentor for 4 years, you know, sometimes, you know, we do 12-week programs. It's like that, you know, so you've got a start and end. You've obviously got the bite size. I think you've got to have different variation, because we're all different and all your mentors are different as well, you know, so I think that's quite key.
I think so. And I think also don't be afraid to kind of tell people that you find them really interesting, you think you could learn something from them, because I think a lot of the time what we can then do as mentees is empower those mentors to do more and give back more and inspire more people and have that confidence in themselves. And I think even when you grow as a professional and become more experienced, that doesn't necessarily mean that you feel like you have the credibility or that you have something to bring. So if the mentees can also empower the mentors to feel like they're giving back and adding value, that's what's so rewarding and kind of keeps that cycle going. So it's, I'm my team always joke that I'm like mentoring's biggest fan, but for me, it's been absolutely transformational in my career. So it's something that I always try and champion whenever I have the opportunity to do.
Absolutely. I think you could never underestimate it. I don't think it's ever, ever too early to start networking, building connections, having a mentor in, you know. And how important do you think it is for people at the start of their careers to see someone like themselves in positions of leadership and authority, whether that be from a neurodiversity perspective, from its gender, race, sexuality, class, you know, that we talk about role models, don't we? And you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. But how really important is that?
I think it's a really apt time to have this conversation, with it being Social Ability Day last week. I think that what you just said there, if you can't see it, you can't be it. How can you aspire to something when it feels like everyone that's in a leadership position looks different to you or has a different way of doing things? And a massive focus of what we do at Capgemini is breaking down the stereotypes of what a leader looks like. And I think the benefit, to be honest, of Gen Z is a lot of them are quite challenging, and that they'll challenge you on diversity, and they can aspire and push themselves to see themselves in those roles. So it's actually quite exciting that we've got this generation that are so challenging, and almost educating more senior professionals on actually, I don't have to look like you or be like you to be a future leader. I have value. I can bring that. But I think for young people where they don't have that confidence necessarily or exposure, it's incredibly important. We do quite a lot of work at Capgemini with refugees who have completely changed their career and are now going into a new career in tech, and we're supporting them in that. And actually to see some of the individuals now in leadership positions or pushing the boundaries is such an opportunity, because when we're speaking to the new cohort that come in, we can say, look at people and where they've gone and what they've achieved, and actually what they've been able to do with the right support. And I think particularly when we're thinking about women in tech, is a massive thing for us. It's a massive focus. It's how do we create stories that help people believe in themselves? And part of our story is about pushing those boundaries, and people that have been change makers, that have delivered something different and kind of paved the way for other people, but also set the scene that it's not just me. You know, when one person breaks that boundary, either from their class perspective, a gender, whatever it might be, ethnicity, it's then about actually how do they create the pathway for other people to follow in their footsteps. So I think it's important that we can create opportunities for people to see others in leadership opportunities that are like them, but it's also the responsibility of those leaders that pave the way to create the route for others. And that's, you know, an example of where mentoring and coaching and networking can be such an impactful intervention.
And you are clearly full of boundless energy, and clearly, you know, you are living your dream every day. But what is the one thing that you live by? Is there a mantra out there that you live by?
Oh, there is. It's a bit abstract, so I'm quite into my Greek tragedy, and there's a line in that that's where the sister of the main character says, but you're in love with impossibility, in Greek. So that's kind of what I live by. Nothing's impossible. I don't want anyone to think that anything's impossible. Always push the boundaries of yourself, but also for other people. And when you think something is possible, that's the next thing that you go after. That's your next goal. So that's my big mantra in life. And that's what's kind of got me to where I am today. So something I'm really grateful for.
Oh, that's amazing. What a way to finish. Anastasia, thank you so much for joining me on this week's podcast. It's always, again, I always say at the start of these podcasts how I'm always inspired and go away with those top takeaways. So thank you for passing on and paying forward. So if you're out there, please do get a mentor. Please do build your connections. It's never too early to start building that network, and you know what, it'll change your life, you know, it really will. So thank you so much, Anastasia.
Thank you,
and thank all of you for listening today. Remember, these are our weekly episodes on our path to power, so do subscribe. Oh, we'd love it if you leave a review. You've got to admit, some of these top tips are absolutely phenomenal, so we'd love to be able to pass them on. If you would like to join us on this mission of professional and personal development, empowering each other, please do get in touch or sign up via our wearepower.net. It's our digital hub. You can find our podcasts, our webinars, our live events all on there, and actually you can connect with some brilliant people like Anastasia. So thank you so much for joining me. My name is Simone. This is the Northern Power Women Podcast, a What Goes On Media production.